Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this week I went to two different doctor appointments in one day. For those of you who are under 40 years old, you're probably thinking, wow, two doctors in one day? That's a lot. And for those of you over 65, you're probably thinking, amateur? Only two in one day? Come on. My appointments were checkup appointments, an annual physical, a follow-up with a sleep doctor. But you know the routine, right? You go in, you have your weight checked and your blood pressure numbers read, and the numbers are never the same at home as what they are in the doctor's office. Your heart and your lungs, they're listened to through the stethoscope. You're asked about any sort of changes in medication. They check to see if you're up to date on your vaccinations. And Alessi, I hear you, shots hurt, okay? The doctor asks you a series of questions related to your health. And then they offer medical advice, or they write a prescription, or even refer you to a specialist. The goal in the doctor's appointments is to diagnose your health, and then to help you take steps towards better physical health. By and large, most of us don't have a problem going to these types of doctor's appointments, right? Especially if they're routine and you're in decent health. But then there are those types of appointments that you schedule because you're not feeling well. There's a persistent cough or a pain, a wound that's not healing the way that it's supposed to, a spot that you noticed on your skin that's not looking quite right, a lump where there wasn't one before. Right? It's a good thing to seek out medical care and schedule a doctor's appointment when your health is at risk, or when you're sick, or when you're not recovering in the way that you should. Now, for some of us, those appointments are a little harder to make because of the fear of the unknown. Others want to know right away so they can have it dealt with as quickly as possible. And there's a third type, right? Those instances when certain individuals, and stereotypically it's men rather than women, try to convince themselves that they are okay when they know for a fact that they should be seeking medical attention. Oh, that chest pain? No, that'll pass. It's okay. Oh, that tingling in my arm? No, if I just stretch it out a little bit, that will make it feel better, right? They ignore the signs and the warnings, deny the symptoms, either because of fear or because of pride. They often wait until it's too late. Now, let me be clear here. This is not just simply a public service announcement for encouraging you to go and visit your healthcare professional regularly, which you should all be doing anyway, but it's because of an important connection to our gospel text today, where we find Jesus, who is the good physician of both body and soul. Jesus said these words in our gospel reading for today. He said, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick." Well, it's important for us to consider who Jesus is talking to and why he is saying what he's saying. And to be clear, it's not to you and me about skipping routine doctor visits if you're feeling okay. He's speaking to the Pharisees, whom along with the scribes were the pious religious leaders of the Israelites. And you can kind of think of them as the sort of spiritual doctors. They were the ones who held the law of God before his people. The law, which functions as a spiritual diagnostic tool for God's people and communicates what is approved or what is forbidden by God for his people. We know them as the Ten Commandments. You know them, right? You can rattle them off at the top of your head, right? Have no false gods, keep the Sabbath, use God's name the way that he intends it to be used, honor your parents, value life, respect marriage as God ordains it, care for others' things, care for other people's good name. And of course, the prohibitions about coveting the things and the relationships of others. Okay, so the scribes and the Pharisees, they held forth God's law before the people so that they would know what is good and right and decent for God's people, and also what was forbidden and sinful. The law shows us our sins. We need the law. The law is good. It's objective. It's God's law. It does not change or move. It is the standard for all humanity as we relate with God and as we relate with one another. Without it, in our own sin, we do whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted, and however we wanted. The law is a diagnostic tool so that we would look at ourselves rightly, so that we would see the sickness of our own sin, and then seek the care of Christ Jesus, the good physician. The Pharisees and the scribes, though, in the scriptures, often use the law in another way. They didn't just use it to diagnose other people's sin, but then they used it to justify themselves in the way that they kept it. They used the law to see the sickness of sin in others and to boast in pride of their own piety. So when Jesus said to them, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick," Jesus is actually calling them, those Pharisees and scribes, to look at themselves rightly, to let the law do its work in their hearts, so that they would humble themselves and crucify their pride and see that they too were sick with sin and needed what Christ, the good physician, offered. Certainly, this is something that we should all take to heart as well. As God's people, it can be a temptation for us to use the law of the Lord like the Pharisees, particularly in the month of June and in this community. We are warned not to let spiritual pride take root in our hearts because we do not do what those other people do. No, we're called to examine ourselves in light of God's law so that we would see our sickness of sin, that we would confess it, and that we in turn would look to Jesus, the good physician, so that he might deal mercifully with us and not as our sin demands. St. Matthew, the apostle and the evangelist, who records this account of Jesus, is one who needs healing from the great physician. Now, Matthew was undoubtedly in good health physically when Jesus walked by and found him sitting there in his tax booth that day. And yet Matthew was sick with sin. And this was an ailment that he couldn't heal himself from. Saint Matthew, the one who wrote the gospel account of Jesus that we read in our Bibles, was a sinner. Now, we're not told how or if he ever cheated anyone by charging extra tax. I mean, after he was called by Jesus, we don't hear him offering to pay back four times what he cheated, like Zacchaeus, the other tax collector that we read about in the scriptures. But that temptation for tax collectors was always present. They had to bid for the job. They had to put forth the cost up front in hopes of making back that investment. And then they were always allowed to charge a little bit more so that they could pad their own bank accounts. The temptation to steal and to cheat was always before him. And perhaps it gnawed at his soul like any sin, exposing the sickness that he could not cure himself. Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. The Pharisees didn't understand why Jesus, clearly at least a prophet of God who could heal the sick, like the paralytic in the verses before in the gospel text, they could not fathom why he would be reclining at table with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. This was no way for a prophet or a rabbi to behave, nor the company a prophet should keep. These sinners, so it seemed, didn't even try to keep the moral law. At least not like them. Right? If anyone deserved to be at the table with Jesus, it was the Pharisees, or so they thought. There's a sad irony in this encounter. Here the Pharisees, who thought they were not as sinful as others, were in fact the ones who were so hardened by their own sin and failed to hear, heed, and learn the words of Jesus. They remained deluded. They were swimming in the river of denial. They were full of self-pride. Their eyes were blind to see that they were sinners, just like the rest. And as a result, they missed what Jesus, the good physician, had come to offer, though he had come for them as well. "Come follow me," Jesus, the good physician, said to Matthew, the tax collector. And he did. Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." There is only one cure for the sickness of sin, and that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is Jesus. Jesus calls, invites, and welcomes sinners to recline with him at table. This is true. But make no mistake about it. When he does not condone, approve, or celebrate the sin. The law is his, remember. He does not condone, approve, or celebrate the sin. He kills it. As St. Matthew and the rest were at table with Jesus, they were not there because Jesus soft-pedaled the disease of sin. No. They were there because he put it to death. The greed of the heart, the covetous nature of the sin-infested flesh, the delusions of grandeur of the mind, all these Jesus kills so that he can make them alive. His call to Matthew was a call to repent and to live in faith to Jesus, the great physician. And those who reclined with Jesus in his presence that day, they came to know themselves rightly as sinners, and they were mercifully welcomed by Jesus to die to themselves, find forgiveness, life, and salvation in him, and so become saints in the Lord. Jesus said, "Come follow me. I have not come to call the righteous, for they think they don't need me, but sinners." This here is something to keep in mind, not only this month, but at all times. Jesus calls sinners to follow him, and by his cross, he changes them. He says, "Come as you are, but leave not as you came. For if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." This is true for you, and this offer is for all. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's why we begin every service, every gathering of sinner saints in this sanctuary with invocation, with confession and absolution, because we recall who we are in Christ. We are the baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have been given his name, and as such, we are a new creation. Christ has called you to follow him. You've been united to his cross and his resurrection in your baptism, and there he has dealt so mercifully with your sin, killing us and making us alive through water and his word. So as his people, we are called to remember who we are and whose we are. Sinners saved by Christ, and now also at the same time saints of the Lord, those who have been shown mercy and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we're called to crucify our sinful pride when we consider the law of the Lord and how we've lived in light of it. We're free to agree with the diagnosis in God's word, right? In our confession that we used just last Sunday, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. Then we are called to look to the mercy of Christ, which the scriptures hold out that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sin before God in the presence of one another. And your pastor doesn't stand before you and say, "Oh, you wicked people." He says, "I have good news for you. God has given himself for you. He has shown you mercy. Your sins are forgiven because of Christ." Dear sinner saints of the Lord, you have been called by the same Jesus that Matthew was. The great physician of body and soul has said to you, "Come, follow me." Therefore, don't swim in the river of denial concerning your sin. Instead, look to the river Jordan, where the sinless Son of God is baptized by John to be your sin bearer. Don't treat the sickness of sin as if it were something that would just resolve itself. Instead, look to the cross of Christ and see there Jesus dealing in mercy and in justice, dealing with your sin by dying your death on the cross, which your sin deserved. Don't be full of pride, thinking that you are more righteous than others. Instead, recall your baptism, the place where Jesus called you as his own, where he stripped away your filthy rags and clothed you with his righteousness. And then come, sinner saints, to the table, where the Lord continues to show you his mercy by giving you the precious medicine of his very body and blood, given and shed for you. But it doesn't end here, right? You go from here. You live in light of God's law, seeking to keep the commandments. And when you encounter others who do not, well, then let them see Jesus, who died for them just as much as he died for you. Invite a conversation that speaks truthfully of the sickness of sin and the consequences of it if it is left untreated. And then point them ever to the mercy of God shown through the Christ, or through the cross of Christ Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He will do his work to call and convert others by his Spirit. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, yeah, the healthy don't need a physician, but the sick do. Thanks be to God that by the sacrifice of Jesus, he has shown mercy to those sick with sin. Thanks be to God that the good physician has come for all, and that he's come for you, calling you and all sinners to come. Follow me. May we ever heed his call and rejoice in his rich and abundant mercy. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the good physician. Amen.